East Coast College Training, July 13th through 19th, 2009, Athens, Georgia. Title: Christ Lives in Me. Morning Session Number 2, Preaching the Gospel. Message Number 5, Using the Homes.
Raise your hand if this week has been the first kind of opportunity that you've had to participate in the gospel, in speaking to somebody. Okay. Well, thanks. I bet you actually have participated in preaching the gospel before this, in your home or in the homes of the saints. Maybe it would be helpful if we can read Roman numeral 1 together. Ready? Go. We're really burdened that you would come away from this training equipped to have something that you take back home with you, something that's regular, something that's ordinary. Maybe it hasn't been in your practice in the past to have a regular preaching of the gospel, passing out tracts or speaking to someone, and we hope that would become regular for you. But this kind of regular and ordinary preaching of the gospel that we're getting into in this outline is the preaching of the gospel in the homes. And the homes are really such an asset for you. Let's look at some verses. Look at Acts 2:46 and 47. This is how the church began. The church started off this way, preaching the gospel in the homes. How about brothers on 46? Sisters on 47. Go.
And day by day, continually steadfastly with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they partook of their food with exultation and simplicity of heart.
Amen.
Praising God and having grace with all the people. And the Lord added together day by day those who were being saved.
Wow. Day by day, those who were being saved. On that first day when Peter stood and gave his message, do you know how many were saved that day? Huh? 3,000. Was that regular and ordinary? It was some kind of public speaking. Peter spoke, the 11 stood with him, many people were touched, and 3,000 got saved. Later in the next chapter, I think another 5,000 got saved. But this verse talks about the Lord adding day by day those who were being saved. This is very normal, right? Have you ever been in... Brother Bill shared about Russia, 1,000 people a week getting saved or baptized in St. Petersburg. That was unusual. But we want to give you something, give you the tools to take home with you and have a regular, normal, ordinary preaching of the gospel. Don't you want this to be in your living, to just be a gospel-preaching living? And you can see here, they continued steadfastly in what places? Two places. The temple and house to house. Well, the temple was taken care of in 70 AD, so no more temple. After that, you would imagine they just continued house to house. And this is the church life, house to house. Okay, let's also look at, let's see how Paul preached his gospel at the very end, the last chapter of Acts. This is before he got thrown in prison for the last time. Acts 28:23. Just, how about the brothers read this? Go. And once they had appointed a day for him, right,
to whom he expounded these matters, solemnly testifying of the kingdom of God, and persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning until evening.
Yeah, so where did they come to him? Did he rent out a cathedral? No, they just came to his home. So, with this kind of as the background, let's read through this outline here. How about the brothers on A, sisters on B, all together on C? Go. Amen.
The apostles preach the gospel from house to house.
Paul rented a house, not a chapel or cathedral, to preach and speak the word to people.
Right. So, and you just think about it. The home, this is where I just really feel like this particular outline of the gospel very much builds on all the other things we've gotten into. We don't want to just present this to you right off the bat, because first, what do we need? What's the first thing we need when we want to preach the gospel? Prayer. We need to pray. And the content of our gospel should be the Word and the Spirit. But you have a, you kind of have a plus one tool that we want to give to you, and that is the homes. Even, you know, consider the matter of companions. You may, with your companion, have someone in your home, or invade the house of one of the brothers and sisters. And there might be such a sweet, pleasant atmosphere for the presentation of the gospel. Who here met the brothers and sisters, or touched this ministry in your college years, in college? Not grew up in the church life, but in college. Okay, I bet you that the homes were a critical factor in your being here now. Am I right, Sri? The homes? Perhaps. You know, if you have, if you can remember back, those of you that just raised your hand, when you first came to school, what were you looking for? What was working in your being? Was there any apprehension, any fear? Actually, you grew up in the church life, you go to school that way. All scared. I'm going to this big campus. There's 50,000 people here. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where my classes are. You know, these kind of things are just in people. And there's a big, big missing. That's why I wanted us to sing that hymn. There's a big missing. And you kind of, you get your real life first taste of that in college, that everything's vain. Everything's vanity. And those close, tight buddies you had in high school that you thought you could really ride the river with, they're not there anymore. Or if they are, they're not there anymore. It's just vanity. It's vanity. And you studied and you got that A, or you were valedictorian of... Anyone valedictorian of their high school? I was not. But you worked hard to get your grades, and then now you're just a little fish in a big, big pond. You know? And then what? You work. You get your job. It's vanity. And, you know, and many of you probably were already saved. Well, some of you, Deshauna, you were already a believer. But sometimes, just imagine, I think it's hard for us to put ourselves into the spot of a typical unbeliever. You know, it's all a facade, saints. If you look at the face, it's not real. The I'm okay, everything's fine. It's not. Let me read you something. You know, this aspect of the gospel, when Mike and Bobby shared yesterday, I was very touched in their sharing to see that the gospel is absolutely not an individual matter. Were you touched with that? We need to pray, and we have to be vitally linked with a companion, with some saints to release this burden for the gospel. And really, it's very much a body matter. The body of Christ shouldn't be some invisible, ethereal, kind of very abstract concept to you, but very, very practical. And I tell you, it's practical with a companion, and it's practical in the homes. And and the link between the body of Christ, the homes, and the gospel is love. The link is love. And whenever I preach the gospel or go out with the brothers to preach the gospel, I'm very quickly exposed of how I don't love people. And so it's good to pray, Lord, give me your heart for people, your feeling, your love. And even not just for the unbelievers, but this brother that I'm on the same campus with. Lord, give me your heart. to love the brothers and sisters. And let me just read you this this little portion. It's from a book called Preaching the Gospel on the College Campuses. It's the last chapter. The heading is called Loving One Another. The Bible tells us that we should love the brothers. Is that right? Bible tells us we should love the brothers. Amen. What's a good verse, by the way? It's a special proof. It's kind of an unusual proof to know that you're saved. And it involves loving the brothers. Does anyone know this verse? We can know we're saved because the Bible tells us we're saved, right? Are you familiar with any verse in the Bible that tells you you're saved? Romans, which one? 10:13, you call on the Lord, you're saved. That's great. You trust the Bible. That should be enough. Then there's a kind of inward hidden proof that you can know you're saved. We need to know these, saints. Everybody at some point in their life will wonder, am I still really a Christian? I can't believe what I just did. I'm not saved anymore. You need to know these verses. So we can know by the Bible. You can also know inwardly by the Spirit. What verse is that? 8:16, the Spirit witnesses with our spirit, we're children of God. But there's also, there's a kind of unusual way that we can know we're saved. We can know we're brothers. We can know that we've passed out of death into life. What verse? Say it. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Yeah. If you don't love, you abide in death. Yeah. So, there should be within our being a love for the brothers. And that's how we know we're saved. Even you meet somebody at the airport, you never met him from Adam, but you know, this person's a Christian. I just have some feeling for him. I love him. The Lord Jesus said, all men shall know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The love among Christian brothers is a strong testimony to the unbelievers. Because, listen, there is very little real love among human beings in society. And you taste this when you go to school. And all those college kids that it seems like they're okay, they're not okay. Because they have tasted very little real love. Do you all know the Ten Commandments? Very quickly, the first one is what? Yeah, no gods but God. Two is what? No what? Idols. Three is what? Yeah, huh? Three? We're petering off here. Three is don't take the Lord's name in vain. Four is take care of the Sabbath. Five is... Okay, those five, you could encapsulate these five commandments into Mark 12:30. Mark 12:30 is you shall love the Lord your God with what? Your whole heart and your whole soul and your whole mind and your whole strength. That is the first five commandments. Love God. If you love God, you'll preach the gospel. How about the next five? Can we do the next five together? We should know the Ten Commandments, y'all. What's the sixth? What's the worst thing you can do to somebody? Okay, don't murder. Don't commit adultery. What's next? Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't covet. You can encapsulate these five commandments into Mark 12:31. Love your neighbor as yourself. There should be, and Lord, we just have to confess. I'm very short of this. But we need to love people, saints. There should be some compassion in your heart. We are in debt to the kids on our campus. If you're Polish, you're in debt to everybody in Poland. If you're American, you're in debt to Americans. We are in debt to people to give them, to love them with God as love. Anyway, saints, this is all really I wanted to share to you. Just to finish off this paragraph, there is little real love among human beings in society. The love in human society is often a deceiving love, right? But the love among the saints is real, genuine, convincing, and attractive. For this reason, we need to have a divine communal life for the gospel preaching. A communal life does not mean that we all live together under one roof. The proper communal life is a life of love toward all the saints. We must have such a life of love. Listen to this. This is the sentence I wanted to point out to you. We need to invite people to our homes to let them see our communal life of love. This will convince our relatives and friends and may convince many of them to turn to the Lord. Who loves the homes? Okay, put your hands down. Who has one particular home meeting that you are related to and you're supplied by those saints? Okay, good. But I think probably the experience of most of you is that this is to care for you. The burden here is that this is the best place to preach the gospel. When people come and see how you are with the saints and see how the saints are with their children, there's just, most of the work is done. What does the outline say? Read it yourself. It's like 80% of the work is done. And I was just considering some of my experience in college. I had a guy that, a friend of mine, we were in upper level mechanical engineering classes together. And this was my senior year. He was older than I was. He was middle-aged. He had, you know, kids and everything. And we had gone out. Some brothers had gone out to a really good barbecue place in Austin the night before. And I got way too much barbecue, and I brought it home to eat later for myself. And the Lord just touched me. You know, you study with these guys. You're with them for 4 years or whatever in your program. And this was a nice guy, and my place, my apartment, was very close to campus. And none of us brothers, we're all engineers, we weren't home during the day usually. And I just invited this guy to my house. I said, why don't you got lunch, you need to eat. Why don't you just come, I've got some leftover barbecue. And there was such a flow and an anointing there. You know, I got to say a little something about the Lord to him. Not much, and there was nothing dramatic. I think he may have even been a believer already. But he was very, very touched just that this kid would invite him over to an apartment and share leftovers with him. It was like, I think in the brother's house we all had plastic cups and nothing matching. And, you know, it wasn't impressive at all. For the place was neat, fortunately. But you just consider, saints, this is unusual in the world. It's very common to us, but to have somebody over and to give them some of your food and to just treat them, that's love, saints. What do you think love is? How is it practical? You bring someone into your home, that is love. And I can't do that anymore to the frequency I want to, because now I'm married and have kids, and the place is much more messy than when I was a student. But I think much college guys don't care about that, do they, Remy? You don't care? No. But you know, I used to just have people over. It was very humble, but and sometimes something of the Lord came out, sometimes not. But look, your testimony, we want you to go away from this training. This is a training to equip you with something, that you would just have the awareness of opportunities to preach the gospel. Your living is the gospel. Having someone to your place is very much the gospel. And Jeremy will share on this, but even to bring someone to a family's house that you know, you pray with that family, that could very much be a gospel opportunity. You know, I was at another place. We were just having a meal, and the sister, it was Laura Bahandas. I was over at their house, Raul and Laura's. And there was an exchange student from Germany there that they had known for a while, and Laura said, hey, Matt, here's a mystery of human life. Preach the gospel to her. And it would have been so different if it would have been just out on the street, preach the gospel to this German exchange student. But we had been in the home. We had eaten Laura's tortilla soup and had some pleasant conversation. It was so easy. It was the easiest thing. She just, like a lamb, prayed to receive the Lord. Still in the church life. But we have to really just look at this plus one opportunity. This is another avenue. It's not the main thing. We need prayer. We have the Word, we have the Spirit, we have companions, but there is another tool for you, and that is your place and the homes of the saints. Amen. Hey, let me read one more verse to you. This is Hebrews 13:1. I just wanted to point this out to you. This touched me a little bit earlier. It says, look at 13:1. Let brotherly love continue. Again, let's be practical. Hey, brother, what's your name?
Jordy.
This can't really be love if I don't know his name too well. Jordy, I love you, brother. That's just words, right? I have to ask his name. I can read the Christ. My brother in Christ, I love you. You know, I do. But you know when that really becomes practical? I just have Jordy over for a meal. I take him out somewhere. Look at the next verse. Right after, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget hospitality. For through this, some, without knowing it, have entertained angels. Do you know who did that? There's two people in the Bible that did this. That we have record of. There's three. There's Samson's dad, Manoah. There's Abraham. And there's Lot. But you don't know what impact it could have on somebody if you just express love in this kind of practical way. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Well, like Matt just shared, you know, this message on using the homes for the gospel, this is really a building on all the other messages we've had. All the messages we've had, but particularly the gospel messages on prayer, being constituted with the Word, on having companions, being vitally related to other saints. And this, you know, can take place in the homes is where all these things really can be manifested. So let's take a look at Romans 3. Let's read that all together. Okay, and let's take the last half of that, in the body, in a coordinated way. Sisters, declare that.
In the body, in a coordinated way.
Brothers. Okay, so this is what we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on being in each other's homes, opening our homes, but in the body and in a coordinated way. So I'm going to read a couple of things to you first. First, I'm going to ask you a question. What's the goal of the gospel? Amen. That might be the source. That might be the source of the gospel. What's the goal? Bear fruit, okay. What's the goal of bearing fruit? Build the body of Christ, hallelujah. This is what's going to turn the age.
Amen.
The body of Christ must be built up. The Lord needs his bride. This is the goal of the gospel. Bring the Lord back, right? And this is, I'm going to read you something, and this is from Brother Nee, who said that the body is the last stage of recovery. It says, the recovery has reached the stage of the body. Perhaps this will be the last recovery. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There may be other items of recovery, but as far as we know, when we reach the recovery of the coordination of the body and the manifestation of authority, that's all under the headship of Christ, we have reached the final recovery.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And then something from Brother Lee, and this is from 1994, at the peak of his ministry towards the end, and he was sick, and after his illness, he asked of the Lord, "What should my ministry stress?" And he says, "It seems that the Lord would burden me with one, the body of Christ, and the life of the body." And two, the reality of the life of the body of Christ. And then his prayer, may the Lord have mercy upon me, that he would grace me, hallelujah, he would grace me to live the two stresses listed above and minister them to the Lord's recovery accordingly. So we have this view of the body of Christ, but in our homes, in preaching the gospel, you know, we have such an opportunity to not teach people about the doctrine of the body, to not, you know, inform them of what God, the goal of God's economy is. But in our homes, we have a very practical, real way to present it, right? To live it. So when they come to our homes, they see a sister cooking, you know, and they might see a husband under the direction of that sister cleaning quickly, right? Or they might have students, you know, taking care of the kids. And this is every member functioning in this home in a normal way, right? This is a presentation of the body, right? Students come in, or new ones come in, gospel friends come in, believers come in, they see something. They see something of the body of Christ. And it is in a clear, in this last part of this Roman numeral, in the body, but in a coordinated way. And we really would like to see something of what coordination is. It's a term possibly, you know, in the realm of, you know, church or gospel, a term that can be watered down. It can have a common meaning. But the real coordination is very much spiritual in nature. You know, just to take the Webster's definition of coordination, it says to bring into proper order or relation, adjust various parts as to have harmonious action. It also means to place in the same order, rank, etc. Moving in coordination. Can anyone think of a Greek word that this might sound like? Stoicheo, very much, very much. Stoicheo. Coordination is in relation to others, moving with the Lord. Right. This is coordination. And then another something here is that is that coordination is an issue of life. When we are enjoying our peripateo, when we're touching the Lord, we're being filled by Him. The spontaneous result is we're not an individual, we're related to members, and we're in coordination. It says, we must realize there are two kinds of coordination. One kind is the coordination involved in outward arrangements, sweeping the floor, cleaning the chairs, dusting the windows. This kind's not very deep. The other kind is a coordination that grows out of the life within and is spiritual. This coordination is deeper and more real. This coordination requires that our natural being, the world, disposition, flesh, all be dealt with so the Lord can grow out of us. When He grows out of you and me, we are spontaneously in coordination. Amen. So let's have, I'm going to have a little practical example of coordination. I need my brother, Victor. This brother has been my roommate this week. Hallelujah. I don't know if when he saw me, he was a little bit, I don't know. Oh, no, I'm rooming with a full-timer. But it's been sovereign, and we've really enjoyed something, haven't we? Okay, I want you to stand up front here. Okay, we played soccer together at Sandy Creek, so I know this brother's somewhat athletic. So could you run in place for me, please? Run in place. No, knees higher. Come on, run in place. Okay, now move your arms like this. Okay, now pat your head with your right arm. Okay, now turn around. Turn around. Turn, spin. Okay, very good. He's a coordinated brother. That's not easy to do. Okay, but we had, you know, I don't know if we probably have some kinesiology majors and maybe even an MD or two in here, but the human body, I don't know how many muscles we have, but we have a lot. And he was using, you know, probably the majority of his muscles doing that. But every one of his muscles is connected through the nervous system to his head, right? So, and even to do something like this, there are a lot of muscles in operation. I think I heard somewhere it takes 57 different muscles to walk. 57. And these muscles, they need to be coordinated. You know, you can't have a rebellious ankle, right? You're not going to walk. The body cannot move. So these muscles are connected to the head, but they're also related to one another very much. So thank you, Victor. We'll talk later. So in the body of Christ, the spirit is the nervous system, right? We are a little muscle. We're a little muscle. When we are in our peripateo, being attached and connected to our glorious head, holding him in love, you know, we're receiving a transmission, an impulse, right? So that the body can move. The body can move. This is the definition of coordination. This is members related to each other, moving harmoniously, companions with the Lord and his enterprise. Amen. To build up the body of Christ. So this is our aspiration, not to be in the homes. That's simply because that's what the God-ordained way tells us to do, and they cook well. But to be in the homes in the body, in a coordinated way, for the gospel, for the building up of the body of Christ. This is really a wonderful thing. So, you know, in fellowshipping with Matt and praying, our burden, really, and the burden of this training is to send you home equipped and with something of a view of entering into the homes in a coordinated way, okay? As students, you're in the dorms, you're in corporate living, you know, most of the homes you go to are families, right? They have the means, they have the time, they have the experience. They're opening their homes. But that does not mean, as students, we can just go to their home simply to receive. Our aspiration is to enter into these homes, but to be in the reality of the body and in a coordinated way with these families. You know, I have experienced on both sides of this situation where a family has a burden to open their home. They've been reading the ministry. They enjoy the Lord. They want to open their homes for students. So they mention their home is open on such and such a night, you know, and they're cooking and preparing. That night comes, and this horde of students descends like locusts and just enter the home, devour everything in sight, and leave. And then see you next week. And, you know, I'm not discounting this because, you know, this can be a wonderful thing. Some can really be touched. In the homes, we sing, we enjoy, we fellowship. And that's good. I mean, of course, that's very, very good. But there's something much more. There's something much more. All of you are here because you're serious about going on with the Lord. And the Lord's move today is very much in the body in a coordinated way. So just want to put something in you to have an aspiration to not merely attend home meetings, but to become part of the nucleus of a vital group that meets in a home. So, you know, there are, in some cases, you know, I know of some situations where students or a student is in a different home every night of the week. You know, Monday night here, Tuesday night here, Wednesday night prayer meeting. Oh, no, I got to cook for myself. Thursday night, Friday night, okay? Okay, not bad, not bad. But I would say perhaps a little bit juvenile. That is very much receive mode. You know, the homes are there for me. Consider this. You go to one or two home meetings a week. Other nights of the week, you call, you fellowship. Even you visit that home that's not meeting night. You go to that home. You enter into some prayer, enter into some fellowship with the ones who regularly attend that meeting. You know, that is being in the reality of the body. Now, don't think that living in the reality of the body of Christ is something for coworkers, right? Who have only, been in the ministry and in the Lord 50 years, you know, fellowship with Brother Lee all the time. Very much, we as young people, young in the Lord, I'm a young one in the Lord, we can enter into this. We can touch this. We have our portion, and our portion can be added to the other portions to be in this reality. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, just encourage you. Get into some of the ministry on this. Go to the Lord and pray. See to which families, which homes he might burden you to enter in. And then make it a point to contact these saints outside of meeting night, to fellowship with them, to let them know which ones you're burdened for. Pray together with them before you invite them. Enter into something of this coordination. This is it, saints. This is it. You know, Brother Lee says the reality of the vital groups is the high peak of Zion. The reality of the body of Christ and the high peak of Zion is in the vital groups. And this is something we can touch in a very practical way. And then, once something is built up, you invite one of your classmates, you invite someone you're burdened for, and they're brought into this, they see something. There is some impact. This, nothing is more attractive than this. Nothing is more attractive than this. Amen.
Read the first paragraph and the last paragraph.
Okay. Okay, where are we? Okay, yeah. Okay. This is flip your binders. The opening homes being the best way to help people. Additional reading, sisters. Would you read that paragraph to us, please? Invite one or two, not too many. You don't have to have 20 people. And then not expect a fast success. This is something that is built over time. Okay, now let's read the last paragraph. Brothers, we'll read it to the sisters. If we have a burden... Amen. Amen. Okay, we've got some time for some sharing.